Welcome to another episode of Plugged Into Safety, the podcast that answers real-world questions about electrical safety in the workplace and helps listeners plug into their very own outlet for knowledge and expertise. Now let's join eHazard's own Brian McCauley and Derek Vigstel as they explore the answers that keep us plugged into safety.
Thank you for tuning into Plugged Into Safety. This episode, Derek and I have a special guest with us, and we will be talking about some of the upcoming changes to NEC. Just a quick reminder, if you have not already, hit the subscribe button so you're able to get the latest information on all Plugged Into Safety content. Derek, before we get started, I want to introduce our special guest. So we're real excited to have Mike Holt with us today. His company is Mike Holt Enterprises, and he's been serving the electrical industry for over 40 years. Mike, there's a lot on the internet about you, by the way, but I found out that you're an 8-time national barefoot water ski champ. Is that correct?
Yep. I started barefooting when I was in my 30s, and I really didn't get good until I was about 61. Of course, I won many national championships, but at the age of 61, I was one of the top 20 barefooters in the slalom event in the world. So I skied at the world championships at 61 in the pro class. And of course, I skied in pro class in the United States. So 8-time national champion, many, many records. 61 is when I really hit my peak. I got out of it 60 in my 60s, and I got into mountain biking. And my favorite thing to do now is very aggressive downhill mountain biking. And I jump 60-foot tabletops, drops, and I break bones and collapse lungs. And that's okay. It's all part of the sport.
Well, that's awesome. Well, welcome, Mike. So glad you were able to join us. And Derek, where do we find you today?
Today, I am coming at you from inside of my car. I'm actually on vacation this week, and we're spending time with my nieces and nephew that are here visiting from Minnesota. And we had a zoo day today at Roger Williams Zoo in Rhode Island. And I figured I'd bring my podcast microphone along just in case I didn't have time to get back into the studio when I got home. But you know, this also just proves my theory. We can do these podcasts from just about anywhere, Brian. I've got my computer plugged into the Jeep parked next to me. I've got running on my hotspot on my phone. And I got my microphone in my car. And this good old American-made Cadillac here is nice and soundproof. So it's serving as my own little studio here today. It's a little bit of a hot one in the sun, but you know what? Nothing wrong with a little sweat therapy.
Well, good to know we can take the podcast on the road.
Absolutely. And Mike, I want to say I big fan for a long time, and I'm super glad you're here with us today. I think this is going to be just a fantastic episode here. And like Brian said, we're going to hit a little bit on the changes that are coming up to the National Electrical Code. So this is a big part of the year. It's a big time for us to get up to speed on what's coming down the pike for the 2023 NEC. So we can talk about some of the things that are coming. Now, Mike, I understand you have been partnered with the National Fire Protection Association, NFPA, this time around. You're going to help them with their NEC changes publication. Is that correct?
Wow. I have to tell you, that is true. That is correct. We signed a contract probably a couple months ago for me to produce the 23 changes, the analysis of the changes. And, you know, I do a good job. Been doing this a long time, but I have to tell you something. I'm freaking out. There's a big difference in doing your own book for yourself versus doing it for like the big dog. To be the person to produce it, and NFPA is going to be carrying it. And so I have to obviously represent them well. And so I'm a little nervous. Actually, I'm a big nervous, freaking out. But, you know, I like that tension. I mean, that's part of my, you know, I'm that kind of competitive person. Yeah. I like to put myself at that kind of scenario. So it's exciting. Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I found myself in a room in a meeting with Mark Early and all the guys at NFPA to work on their handbook publication for the NEC. Yeah, I had that same feeling in my gut, and I was sitting there looking around the room going, how in the world do I belong sitting here right now? And I mean, at that time, I certainly did not have the pedigree and the history in the electrical industry as you do. But it's still absolutely, I shared that feeling with you. Even to this day, I mean, the fact that, that I get asked to do things, they still call and ask me questions from time to time. And it's like, wow, I'm the guy that they call to answer their questions when they can't answer their questions. So it's pretty awesome. It's a very humbling feeling, right?
The thing is, because you want to do well, if you don't really care, then it's not a lot of stress. But when you are representing other people and people are depending on you and you have the desire to do the best you possibly can, it puts it, no matter how many years, I have 47 years doing this, right? I mean, I've done many, I don't know, 17 code changes book, or no, not that many. I think 12 code changes book, whatever the case, I'm still stressed out.
Right. Right. Well, let's talk about a pretty easy one here today for you, I think, because we want to get into, there's a specific change that I think really our listeners, with us being on the safety side, there's a specific change that I think is going to be of some pretty big importance to our folks. The change that's upcoming to 110.16b. Now, that section has always been one that required arc flash labeling on service equipment above 1200 amps. So it was big service equipment, and it was to put on the arc flash hazard warning, in addition to saying, hey, there's an arc flash here in this equipment. It was also to put the nominal system voltage, to put the clearing time of the upstream overcurrent device, and to put the available fault current at a bare minimum. Or you had the option to put the basically use an NFPA 70E required label instead of what the NEC had for a bare minimum. And so you could choose either or, and they didn't make you put the both labels on there. But now it looks like Codemaking Panel 1 has decided the best way forward is to just require at the time of installation to require a label on service equipment. And they've dropped the 1200 amps down to 1000, right? And yep. They've also added feeder equipment. But now they're going to make the 70E label the starting point, right? And I think the words that they put in there are applicable industry standards, but they're going to make that 70E compliant label, being nominal system voltage, arc flash boundary, and then some piece of information to be able to select arc rated equipment, PPE. They're going to make that our standard starting point, right? And so what do you think about that change? That what kind of impact do you see is that having on the industry? Especially, I know you have a soft spot in your heart for the electrical contractor. That's really your audience. And with your son playing that role, really, it's the safety of electrical contractors is of the utmost importance to you, right?
Well, my heart is the electrician, right? And so it's the guy that's, and the girl that's going to be out there. Let me back it up just a little bit from where you were there, Derek. The rule is 110.16 in the National Code, and it says arc flash hazard warning. So that's the concept. There's a part A and a part B. And let me just quickly go over to part A before we get to part B. Part A says the general requirements, electrical equipment, and then they specify the type of equipment, such as switchboards, switchgear. They added the word enclosed panel boards in the 23 code. Industrial control panels, and there's a definition, by the way, of an enclosed panel board in the Article 100. Industrial control panels, meter socket enclosures, and motor control centers. That is, in other than dwelling units, and likely require examination, adjustment, servicing, and maintenance while energized, shall be field or factory marked to warn qualified persons of potential electrical arc flash hazard. The marking shall meet the requirements of 110.21b, which means it has to be suitable for the environment and legible. And that label, that marking, needs to be located so as to be clearly visible to qualified persons before examining, adjusting, and servicing equipment. So this is the standard label that comes with the equipment. It'll have like Eaton or Square D or Schneider, anybody else. It's just a standard label, and it just says arc flash hazard warning. Now, this general rule is to, it goes on and it says, to warn qualified persons of potential electrical arc flash hazards. But of course, that label serves no purpose at all because, number one, these are electricians, and if they're electricians, probably a huge percentage are guys, and guys don't read labels, okay? So they don't even know And if you read the label, all of it was just saying, hey, a little scary face or something like that. And so that's general. Now, there's no ampere rating. This is interesting. 110-16A, there's no ampere rating. So let me review it again. That means that switchboards, switchgeared, and panel boards, enclosed panel boards. See, guys, you can get a panel board, right? That's article 408. You can get a panel board, but that's the guts. So you don't want to put a label on the guts. So that's why they added the word enclosed panel boards in the 23 code, which means that this label, well, this marking is going to be on the outside of the equipment. Okay, so that's all your panels. Now, interesting, this does not apply to disconnecting means. Okay. So it would apply to meter socket enclosures, but not a disconnecting means. Now we go to B. And like you said, in the 2020 code and prior code, it was saying, well, you know, if it's service equipment 1200 amperes or more, we need to have some information. Like you said, we need to know what's the available fault, how fast does the protected device clear. It also said the date, and it also specified the voltage. And if anybody has a little bit of knowledge of NFPA 70E as it relates to energy, heat, incident energy, we kind of need to know the available fault. We need to know, well, how fast can the device clear? And we need to know the voltage. And with that information, we can calculate out the incident energy. Now, but the code at that time says, well, just give us the variables, you know, the values, you know, and that'd be fine. Or you could use an NFPA 70 label, which would include a lot more information, one of the two choices. And like you said, on the 23 code, they say, well, we want to drop down to 1,000 amps. I don't know the history why 1,000 amps, but I mean, it's like, whatever. Okay, it's 1,000 amps, 1,200 to 1,000. And we want to include it not only to service equipment, because you could have equipment that's 1,000 amperes, but it's not service equipment, because service equipment is only the main means of cutoff at the power to a building. So now, but you might have a 2,000 amp feeder, which could be very common, going to 2,000 amp distribution equipment. So it's service equipment, and it says feeder supplied equipment. So basically, in my book, what I'm doing, Derek, I'm just saying, hey, it's 1,000 amp rated equipment. Okay? I don't care if it's service equipment, feeder equipment, it's 1,000 amp. And now it says, and here's what it says. Let me read this rule, 110.16b. Service equipment and feeder supplied equipment in other than dwelling units, in addition to the requirements of 110.16a, 110.16a was what we talked about, that little sticker, okay? In addition to having that sticker that comes from the manufacturer that you either field or factory install, a permanent arc flash label shall be field or factory applied to the service equipment. Well, it's not going to be factory applied, because it's going to tell you what you have to have on that label, and the factory doesn't know what it is. So a permanent arc flash label shall be field or factory applied to service equipment and feeder supplied equipment rated 1,000 amperes or more. And then it goes on and it says the arc flash label shall be in accordance with applicable industry practice and include the date the label was applied. Now, when I first saw this change, I'm like, oh my gosh. What the heck is an applicable industry practice? And what they did was they revised note 2. And here's what note 2 says. NFPA 70E 2021 edition, standard for electrical safety in a workplace. So for applicable industry practices, so it says, I'm sorry, I missed a word. C, what they did in the 23 code was, it used to just have the conversation, and now they added the word C. So let me do this all over again. 110.16B, information note 2. C, NFPA 70E 2021, standard for electrical safety in the workplace for applicable industry practices for equipment labeling. Now that's the change. It described it. It gave the change in the edition of 2021. It added the word C, where before it never said see it. It was just a statement. Now they say, hey, we're trying to tell you, hey, see this standard for electrical safety to workplace for the applicable industry practice for equipment labeling. Like, oh, and if I go back up to 110.16B, what they could have done is just simply say, put this arc flash label that complies with NFPA 70E 2021 standard for electrical safety. But it's kind of like, you're kind of like selling your own book. You know what I mean? Like I go do a seminar, I'm telling guys, you know, you got to get licensed. Yeah, Mike, you're trying to tell us to get licensed because you're kind of like want to sell in your exam prep stuff. So the NFP is kind of like, we don't want to say in our standard to use another standard. We just simply say C70E for occupancy practices. This standard provides specific criteria for developing arc flash labels for equipment that provides nominal system voltage. There you go. So now we have to have the voltage, have to have incident energy levels, arc flash boundaries, minimum required levels of personal protective equipment, and so forth. I always hate the word "and so forth" because I never know what it is. So what you're saying, Derek, is you're absolutely right. Now, what does this actually mean? Okay, we did all this code lingo. We got to comply with 110.16b. Okay, 110.16a, put some kind of crazy simple little label, comes with manufacturer. It's 1,000 amp rated equipment or more. So then we're going to put this arc flash label that's going to have voltage, incident energy, arc flash boundaries, personal protective equipment, and so forth. Because there are other things in 70E beside the arc flash. Now, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to my son? As you mentioned, my son is an electrical contractor. I worry about him and I worry about his staff and I worry about everybody in the industry. Now we're going to get a label. Now this label tells us the incident energy, the voltages, it gives us all the stuff. And the thing is about that label, I've tried to kind of put together my own little app to do incident energy calculations. And I really understand how to do it. And I realize it is not possible. So what is the electrical industry going to have to do? You're going to have to get somebody who is qualified to be able to determine and use the right software, because you cannot do this manually. That's consider the utility power distribution, KVA rating, the voltage, the conductor size, the length of the conductors, the wire type that's going to be used in that, the conductor material. It's going to consider all these variables. And then the type of protective device, what kind of enclosure, all these details are going to go into a software, and they're going to figure out coming to the service, and they can, and this software will generate a label and it will be given there. And then if you have anything downstream of that, because it's talking about feeder equipment, well, now we have to put labels on the feeder equipment that's rated 1,000 amps or more, which means that this arc flash study, okay, it's going to have to be going more than a service. It's now going to go down to the feeder equipment. And so that is going to be dramatic, but we still have a problem. My son will look at this label and will not understand what it means. We have to do a better job in the industry to say, hey, listen, now here's what we have, guys. We now have a label. Before it was just like, hey, guess what? It's dangerous. Now we're saying, hey, guess what? It's dangerous because we have to comply with 110.16a. B says we have to give the installer, or we have to give the person that's likely to service a maintenance, that person has to have information to ensure they have the right personal protective equipment. But see, that's okay. That's great. But my son doesn't know what that label means. And so the next level is, now that we have a label, now we can find the issue that, listen, we have a label, but we don't know what it means. We need to educate the individual. Say, listen, you don't have to know about all this stuff. Just look at this label, okay? And this label is telling you the kind of personal protective equipment. And really, there needs to be, and I'm not trying to sell your business. Actually, I don't know a whole lot about, you know, e-hazard. So let's just get that straightforward here. I'm trying to sell education so people can read a label. I don't need to know all about 70E. All I need to know is I'm an electrician and I don't know squat about anything. But if I look at that label, there needs to be something, and maybe you guys can have a website or maybe you guys can do seminars. I don't know. That says, listen, guy, Michael J., look at this label. Here's the information. Here's what you have to wear. And here's why you have to wear it. So this is the start. Now watch. And Derek, you've been involved in a code process. We went from 1,000 to,
yep,
to what? To 1,000.
To 1,000. So that means they're looking to go even less. They're probably got their sights on, say, 800 and 600 amp equipment at some point. Well, we may even someday see this applied to 200 amp equipment. Like when we go into 70E, and 70E doesn't specify an amperage, right? 70E's label is for equipment that is likely to require examination, adjustment, servicing, or maintenance while energized, which means then, I mean, that could be a 200 amp panel board in other than a dwelling unit, right? And yeah. And so, you know, like you said, I think this is a huge step forward in the safety of the electrician. But we got to get out there and we got to teach them what this means now. So what does that sticker on the front of that piece of equipment mean for you when you go up to that equipment? Yeah. And Brian will take care of the sales for us, Mike. We appreciate the plug on our own podcast, but Brian will take care of that. That's Brian's job, is to sell our training. So, but hey guys, I know we're coming up on the end here. And I got to get running here for shortly. So, Brian, what do you think? Is this going to be a big issue coming up on your end? Do you think?
Yeah, I think if you guys can help me out, I think some of the common questions that we're going to see from customers, and you guys are the experts, so you guys tell me, because I think for our listeners that are listening to this, they're probably thinking that these questions that I've already started to hear, like, I've done an arc flash study, I don't need to do the renewal for 5 years. Now I'm seeing that this change is coming through for this equipment above 1,000 amps. Do I need to renew my study? That's number one. And then number two, I would go back to that arc flash label and talk about that NFPA 70E label. Does that need to change now so that we can encompass this new rule? I think those are the two main, if you guys can expand a little bit on that, I think that'd be really helpful for our listeners.
Well, let me jump
yeah,
in.
I mean, Mike, I mean, jump. You've seen, you, yeah, go ahead.
I'm an electrician, okay? So, Brian, as soon as you started talking, everything you said, I glossed over. My brain, I didn't even care about it. I got bored. What I care about is I'm an electrician. What I care about, I'm worried about training for me and my people to know what to do with the label. Nothing to do with 70E and the renewal every 5 years. That is a 70E conversation, and that's like beyond my scope, and I don't care about. What I care about is you guys providing the training to teach me, the electrician, what I need to know, and a separate training for that versus the people that are creating the labels and generating the labels and renewing the labels. Oh, that's a 70E issue as opposed to a code. To me, code, tell me what the label means. So that's where I'm at on those questions. I'm not a 70E guy, so I wouldn't even answer those questions. I don't know.
Yeah. And I agree 100% with you, Mike. I think this is, there's two components to that. Is there's the training for the people making the labels. They need to be aware that this is a new thing coming. And then we also need to train the people reading the labels.
There
and look
go.
At, you know, what does that sticker mean for me as I walk up to it? Because that's my part of the risk assessment as an electrician. What does that sticker mean for me? And that's a big part of the training. Like we talked with Gus on the last episode about, you know, training that doesn't just simply check a box for safety training.
Right.
Meaningful
right.
training that actually comes in and teaches people how to do this stuff and stay safe from electricity. That's what we got to do, Brian.
I think 100%.
But Brian, training has to be to the electrician without all this fancy stuff. Just tell me, I'm reading a label. Tell me, don't give me so much information that I gloss over and talk about who generates the label, how it gets generated, when is it going to. No. I'm there. I'm walking up to a label. What do I do? What do I need to know? So that's the second part that I'm looking for. And I don't know if you guys are. I don't know if you guys are good
well
at that.
Said,
I don't know.
Cool.
That's what we do every day, day in, day out, Mike. That's what we're after, right? We want to get down and get to that level in the industry. That's where we're headed. So, Brian, what do you think?
I'm dying
in my car here. This is like, it's 105 degrees in my car. I've sweat through all three of my shirts at this point. Of course, I'm not sure why I'm wearing three shirts, but what do you think? How about we get a final thought from Mr. Holt here? And I can't say thank you enough, Mike, for coming on and sharing your thoughts on this one for us. This is a big issue, I think, coming and in a good way, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's great to have all these industry experts chiming in on this, and I'm glad you could help our audience with from your point of view. So final thoughts, Mike?
My final thoughts are, I'm ecstatic that we have this requirement. Because it gives me the opportunity and it gives the industry an opportunity to recognize, hey, there's something there I need to know. And now the next thing is for two parts, okay, is and hopefully you guys can help me get me some tools that I can help pass it on to make sure that my son and everybody else like my son is going to be safe.
Perfect. Couldn't have said it better myself. Unfortunately, my son doesn't want to be an electrician despite my best effort to get him into the family business. But
okay. I understand.
You still got time, Derek. All right, gentlemen. Hey, well, I really appreciate, again, special thanks to you, Mike, for taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
And we want to thank our listeners for tuning into this week's Plugged Into Safety podcast. Thank you guys for taking the time to join us. Please be sure to hit the subscribe button to catch future episodes on electrical safety. And remember, if you have questions or any ideas for future Plugged Into Safety podcasts, please send us an email at podcasts@ehazard.com. podcasts@ehazard.com.
And make sure we get out and get one of Mike's upcoming books there, the changes analysis coming out for NFPA and Mike Holt Enterprises. I am sure it's going to be just an absolute home run, just like all of your other publications are, sir. So looking forward to it. Can't wait to have a copy in my hands. And I think it's going to be great for the industry. So appreciate it, guys.
I told you I'm going to get you a copy personal for you. Thanks, guys.
All right. I can't wait. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of eHazard's Plugged Into Safety with Brian and Derek. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and give us a review to let us know how we are doing. Also, let us know what you want to hear about in the comments or send your requests to podcasts@ehazard.com. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to having you join us for future episodes where eHazard keeps you plugged into safety.